During Afghanistan's long civil war and then last year's campaign to oust the Taliban, areas in the northern part of the country saw some of the heaviest fighting. Today, the region remains volatile, with powerful warlords battling each other for dominance. In recent weeks, the United Nations has taken steps to eliminate one of the major reasons for the ongoing conflict: hundreds of weapons. NPR's Eric Westerveld reports from the Shalgara district in northern Afghanistan.
Here's all it took to get commanders for warlords Atta Mohammed and Rashid Dostum to recently surrender 400 weapons. Just two F-16s in the sky, coalition forces on the ground, a few CIA agents, and constant pressure from UN, US, and Afghan officials. Oh, and serious arm twisting by their senior commanders.
Cajoling, bluffing, threatening in some cases.
400 is only about 20% of the guns, admits Mervyn Patterson, the UN's top political affairs officer in the north. But serious recent fighting had threatened to turn Shalgara once again into the poster district for Afghan chaos. It also prompted several aid agencies to consider pulling out of the area altogether. Importantly, Patterson says the collection included the big guns.
The very heavy grenade launchers, the mortars, the light artillery pieces. So I think the fact that the heavy weapons have been removed from there, that's very, very significant.
For two decades, Shalgara has absorbed weapons as five ethnic groups, four political parties, and three warlords vied for control during civil wars and unending local disputes. We told village elders Shalgara had a bad reputation, one UN official said. They asked us, should we change the district's name? No, he said, we need you to change the reputation. In a Shalgara village 2 hours south of Mazar-e Sharif, farmers with wooden shovels stand on a giant stack of wheat. Under a scorching summer sun, they toss the wheat into the air, hoping the wind will separate the wheat from the chaff. It's better here since they collected the guns, says Kareem, but 400 is nothing. We have thousands in this area. We know we live here. Everyone still has their gun. Still, other farmers are thankful for the break from gunfire. We now have more peace here, says Mohamed Alam. We still don't have a doctor, school, or reliable water, but it's nice to travel to Mazar without getting shot at. Whether this tenuous peace holds is up to the warlords Mohamed Atta and Rashid Dostum. The two once fought together against the communists and recently joined forces to oust the Taliban. And on paper anyway, both are part of the new central Afghan government. But Atta, a Tajik, doesn't really trust his old Uzbek rival. This day, Atta sports a tailored tan suit and trimmed black beard. Teenagers wearing green fatigues and rifles stand near his office, looking more awkward than menacing. In the name of Allah, my soldiers in Shalgara have never started a fight, Atta claims. We just defend ourselves. General Dostum's men start the fighting, so ask him about peace. Asked about the slow pace of disarmament, really centralizing weapons in a locked barracks, Atta says he's waiting for the National Disarmament Commission, which he belongs to start work in earnest. This commission's got a lot of work to do, Atta says. We need to make the army smaller, and there are a lot of Mujahideen soldiers who don't belong in the army anymore. They'll go into private work. And what do we do for them, he asks? What should we give them for giving up their gun? These are not easy issues. One of General Dostum's top commanders, General Shahzadeh, holds court at the old fort outside Mazar, site of the Taliban prison uprising, where American John Walker Lynn was captured. General Shahzadeh implies that the disarming of the North will likely be more of a reactive than proactive program. These things take time, he says. Our plan now is that wherever there's fighting, we'll go in and disarm that area. But it'll be hard, he says. For many, guns are like good friends. It's not easy to give them up. UN Representative Patterson admits collecting 20% of Shalgara's weapons doesn't sound like much, but he says it's something to build on.
This was the first time in Afghanistan that something like this had been attempted. Well, we have to repeat what happened in Shalgara throughout the rest of the north. And I think it's a first step.
In a tiny village along the Shalgara River, a farmer sharpens a sickle on a stone wheel. A few yards away, two abandoned tanks sit in a ditch. See, we cut off the smaller pieces of metal from the tanks and made these tools, the farmer says, smiling. We use it to cut the wheat, he adds, pressing the question mark-shaped sickle against the grinding wheel. Residents of Shalgara want more weapons collected. or at least left in a ditch, and someone might turn the smaller pieces into farm tools. Eric Westervelt, NPR News in the Shulgara District, northern Afghanistan.